So we finally made it to 2021. Are you happy about that? Are you happy to be into a new year? So if you could describe 2020 in one word, what would you come up with? One word.
Rough.
Rough. Awful. Yeah, well, I was trying to think of a way to describe it, and I was thinking of an old story of a preacher that was walking down the road one day, and he saw a teenage boy sitting next to a lawnmower. And there was a for sale sign, and the preacher said, "Wow, this looks like I've been needing a lawnmower." And he said, "Does it work?" And the boy said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, well, I might be interested in buying it, but before I buy it, I need to see if it runs. Can I start it?" And the boy said, "Sure, go ahead." So he switched the on position and he started pulling the cord. He kept pulling, he kept pulling, he kept pulling. He pulled over and over and it wouldn't start. And he looked at the boy and he said, "Well, I thought you said this lawnmower worked." And the boy said, "Well, you got to cuss it. You got to cuss it and it'll work." And the man said, "Listen, I am a preacher of the gospel. I have not cussed for years." And the boy said, "Well, if you start pulling that cord, it'll come back to you." Well, I think that's my description of 2020 for you. And I think most Americans agree. And they did some polls. 13% of Americans believe it was a good year for them. 13%. So you're going to fall. Okay, good, good. Okay. Good. So that's good. And Time Magazine reflected my feeling. And I don't usually agree with Time Magazine, but this was one of their covers. And I think it is something to think about the year. And I think we need some good news for a change. And we're not going to find good news in the media. We're not going to find it. You can't find it in the news because news changes from day to day. And today, you're not even allowed to even think for yourself. They don't report the news. They have to give you their ongoing commentary on what you're supposed to think. And you're not going to find it in politics. That is for sure. That is for sure. You're not going to get good news in the political world. And you're not going to find it in the latest infection numbers from the virus. Not going to find it there because those aren't good. So the world is not going to give you good news, and you're not going to find it. You're not going to find peace, and you're not going to find comfort in the world. But a lot of people say just focus on your own life. Now that's something you can control, just focus on your own life. And maybe that's true, but maybe in your life things aren't working out like you planned. Maybe there's things going on in your family or your relationships that aren't working out very well, and maybe there's personal problems going on, and maybe your job situation is not what you planned it to be. Maybe you're doing a job that you never really wanted to do. Some people are having to do that now. I think it's hard to find good news, but I do believe and I do hope that 2021 will be a better year, but there's no guarantee. Humanly speaking, it can get worse. But I want to remind Christians today that you're blessed. And I'm not talking about the material blessings that you have, and I'm not talking about your health, although if you're here and it's 2021, God has something in store for you. But if you're a Christian, you are blessed. Regardless of how your life is going, regardless of how the country's going, regardless of how your health is going, regardless of how anything else in your life is going, your family, your finances, you are blessed. And you may not emotionally feel it. Someone says, "Well, I don't feel blessed." God has blessed you and you're not even aware of it, perhaps. So today we're going to start a new series out of the book of Ephesians. So I want to invite you to follow with me. We're just going to be looking at chapter 1 today, and I'm going to read the first two verses to kind of get us introduced to the letter. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the standard way that letters were written at the time. Paul calls himself an apostle. It was written to God's people, his saints, and like the churches in Revelation, this was a letter to be written circular. It was supposed to go to all the churches in the area. They would just pass this letter along, and they would read it in each church. Ephesians, or Ephesus, was the largest city in the Roman province of Asia Minor. Basically, it was in modern-day Turkey. So what is the first thing that Paul says to these churches? Look in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Paul tells the Christians, you're blessed. Not talking about material blessings or family blessings. These are all the things when someone says, are you blessed? That's what we list. But Paul says, this is a blessing from God. What kind of blessing is it? It says he blessed them in the heavenly realms. This phrase is used 4 times in Ephesians. No other book of the Bible has this phrase. So this is talking about the spiritual world. Do you remember our Christmas study? We've heard, we see these angels appearing to shepherds. The spiritual world is alive and well, and it came out during Christmas. And here Paul is telling the Christians that they're blessed in this world. They're also blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Christians, we are blessed through Jesus. We're blessed because of what God has done through Jesus, because of his death, because of his burial, because of his resurrection. He's blessed us spiritually. Jesus reigns. He's victorious. So today, I want to give you 3 ways that God has blessed the Christian. The first way, Christians, we're blessed because we have been chosen. So look back at our text, verses 4 through 6. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. I want you to notice in these verses, we're blessed by God not because of anything that we've done. We didn't earn the blessing. It was God's choice. One translation says, he picked us out. And when was the choice made? Before the creation of the world. Verse 5 says, he predestined us for adoption to sonship. Did God just choose some people to be saved and some people to go to hell? That's not what the Bible says. 2 Peter 3:9 says God is patient and he doesn't want any to perish, for all to come to repentance. So this is important. God didn't choose us for what we would do for him later. He chose us because he loved us. Every person was chosen. Every person has the potential to be saved. Every single person. I'll never forget, many, many years ago, we lost our family pet. You know, it's kind of a sad time, and so we went to pick out another dog. You remember how many years ago this was, and you could just go to the local animal shelter. You didn't have to fill out a bunch of paperwork. They didn't question you on your, you didn't have to give a sworn affidavit of your property, and they didn't have to check everything out, and they didn't charge you amount. You just had a small amount of money. You could buy an animal. That's the way it used to be. Do you remember? This was a long time ago. And in that particular time we went in, most of the animals were gone. But there was this little puppy, very, very tiny. It was probably the runt. Just adorable. So we picked out that little dog, brought it to our house. This is not a picture of the dog, but this is about how she looked. She was just so adorable, you know. This was a miniature, what was the name of this dog here? Border Collie, that's right. A miniature Border Collie, and she lived that. But we fell in love with this little puppy. Why did we pick her out? Pure love. That's all we did, was just love. Remember, That's what God did for us. He picked us because He loved us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The same thing happens in adoption. Parents choose a baby, or they choose a child out of love, out of a desire to add them to the family. No doubt they have future hopes, they have future expectations, but that's not the basis for the choice. Before the world began, God chose us in Christ out of His amazing love. He had expectations. He says right here, He chose us to be holy and blameless. This was all done according to His will. We're blessed because He chose us. The second way we're blessed is because we're forgiven. Look back at our text, verses 7 through 10. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He had made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. He chose us and He created us to have a relationship with Him. And part of that love is that He gave us free will. He gave us free choice. He wanted us to freely love Him. Now we know what happens. We know what happened when He gave us free choice. Thousands of years people sinned. They rejected God. God made a covenant with them. But they were lost. The world was lost and hopeless. I heard somebody describe it this way. God just couldn't take it anymore. He tried everything and nothing helped. And so finally, out of desperation, He sent His Son to the world. And they wouldn't listen to His Son, so they killed Him. But that's not the way it happened. Sometimes we look at the world, we see all the evil, and we say, God, it's really getting bad out here. Where are You? Aren't You going to do something? We're acting like God is like carried along out of control, like He doesn't really know what's going on, like He's uncertain, like He's unsure. But God already did something. At the perfect time, He sent Jesus. And when Jesus died, His death united and reconciled everything. Jesus' death united heaven and earth. Jesus wasn't death as a result of mob violence. Like He was this innocent, completely powerless teacher that didn't know what was going on. No, Jesus came to die. He gave His life as a ransom. Sin had a cost. It had to be paid. So He gave His life as a sacrifice. The price was paid with blood. So what does this mean? It means that we have forgiveness of sin. We're blessed because we are forgiven. Now please understand, this is not because of anything that we have done. Even if we wanted to, we couldn't just forgive ourselves. This was all because of Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. We're blessed because God loves us. It's not a theory. This is real forgiveness. Jesus forgave us. And He did it by His blood. Now the third way that we're blessed is we're marked with a seal. Now up to this point, everything is from God. It's what He did. He chose us. He forgave us. And now we have our response. Look in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. You are marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Paul says you were included in these blessings, and then you have the word when. This is conditional. When you heard the message. But more than just hearing, it says when you believed, or literally, when you trusted Him. This isn't just believing a few facts. This isn't an emotional feeling. This is a commitment. It's not just believing what Jesus said. It's actually doing it. If Jesus said to do it, we do it. Acts 2:38 says that when a believer is baptized, they are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is God's seal of ownership. Now I have some pictures of seals. These are some actual seals, some artifacts from the first century, and they would use a seal as a sign of ownership to show authority, authenticity. And we still have various means today to mark documents to show that they're valid and legal. We're even supposed to do that with ballots when you vote. That's a whole other thing. God has given us His Spirit. He's marked us as His own. Verse 14 calls the Spirit a deposit. Another translation says it's a first installment. In the original language, it says it's a first ring. This is a reference to the engagement ring. So a man finds the perfect woman, right? And they enter into a relationship together, and he decides he's going to buy her, you know, a $50,000 wedding ring that looks something like this. So it's a big deal, right? And you're all working together, and you're all, it's usually you include the whole family in this whole day that you're going to make this announcement, and the man puts the ring on her finger, but she only gets part of the ring, right? The first ring, the first part. That's how it works in marriage. But as a Christian, that's what the Holy Spirit is. He's the promise of a heavenly inheritance. See, Christians, we are so blessed because of what God has done for us. He's chosen us, He's forgiven us, and He's marked us with a promised inheritance. So are we living like we're blessed? Or do our lives seem filled with discouragement? Or are we so worried about other things going on in our life or in the country, and we say, I just don't feel blessed? You may say, well, I can see all the things God has done, but how do I put that into action? How do I live like I'm blessed? The Apostle Paul had a prayer for these churches, and from his prayer, I think there's a couple of goals that I think we should strive for in our life. The first goal is to live your life striving to know Jesus better. So when I read these verses, I want you to listen to Paul's words of encouragement. Listen to the encouragement that Paul gives to these Christians, and I'm going to be reading verses 15 through 17. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking that the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. You see all the love that Paul has for these Christians? He's gotten reports of their faith, he's gotten reports of their love, and he prays for them by name, and he thanks God for them, and he prays personally for them. And I just want you to know, this is what I do for you. Every single person that's in here, when I have my prayers, I will go down and pray for you by name. And I will pray for I don't know everything that's going on in your life, but if there's anything I know about, I will pray for you. See, you have blessed me, so I want to bless you by praying for you. Paul had a specific prayer for these Christians. He prays that God will give them a spirit of wisdom. We really know that. We really need that, don't we? A spirit of wisdom. And then it says to know that they would know Him better. So let me go back to the engagement ring. Couple falls in love, and he gives her that ring. And they get married. It's a beautiful time. So I want you to think back to when you first got married. How well did you know your new spouse? I mean, when you're 20 years old, you know that person. We're perfect. We're a perfect match. Everything fits, right? Remember this? We think the same. We act the same. And then you get married and you start getting to know that person, right? Does it take a while to get to know a person? Sure. That's exactly how, you know, and it's ups and downs. Year after year, it's a life experience. It's the same with knowing Jesus. Spiritual growth is a process. We grow closer to Him, but we know Him even better during the down times because we trust Him more. If there's anything that I could tell you about 2020 for me, is that I grew closer to the Lord. And then I got to know Him much better as a result of all the downtime that I had. That's what I spent my time trying to do. The more we know Jesus, the more we learn how He helps us and how He sustains us. When we are in a relationship with Jesus, when we first start, we don't understand things. We don't understand how God chose us before time. We know He forgave us, but we don't understand all He did. We don't understand how much He loved us. It makes more sense to us the longer we follow Jesus. So, what I've learned is that the longer I follow Jesus, the more grateful I am. The more indebted I feel to Him. It's a daily process of knowing Jesus. So this year, will you strive to know Jesus better? When this year's all done, will you say, I knew Him better. I got to know Him better. I walked with Him closer. So how do I live like I'm blessed? The second goal, live your life striving to know the hope that you have in Him. Look at verses 18 and 19. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul's prayer for them continues. He prays that the eyes of their heart might be enlightened. In the Scriptures, the heart is the seat of your personality. It is your inner thoughts, your inner feelings, and your judgments. This is more than just knowing something. It's more than just having some knowledge. This is a knowing Jesus, knowing it, and knowing Him deep in your heart. It is something that impacts how you live your life. When you make judgments and you make decisions, it affects your decisions. Paul is telling these Christians that he prays that they would know the hope that they have in Jesus, in the core of who they are. When you truly know Jesus, you have hope because you know that you have a glorious inheritance. And you start becoming aware of His great power. Hope changes everything. You know, in a football game, if you're a football fan, maybe you've been watching your team and they're losing. It's a close game. And the clock is winding down, right? And you're down to like 2 minutes left. And you're thinking, oh no, I'm going to lose. And suddenly there's a big play. It's like a huge pass. And the guy makes it all the way down to like the 40-yard line. And you have hope, right? Because of that circumstance. Well, we do not live our life based on circumstances. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are around us. We don't live our life based on court outcomes. We don't live our life based on elections. We don't live our life based on how we're feeling today or how my family's doing. We have to understand these things, but that's not our hope. You cannot put your hope, you cannot anchor your hope on the changing circumstances around us. Our hope is based on what doesn't change. Jesus is powerful. Jesus doesn't change. You see, we're blessed. Now, we're not going to look at the rest of the chapter here, but the main point is that we can have hope no matter what. And just because you see things and they don't look good, that doesn't mean you can't have hope. What we see in the world, what we see in the news, what are the daily life that we live, that's not hope. That's not where our hope is. Verse 21 says, Jesus is the head over everything for the church, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. So Christians, we've all been blessed with spiritual blessings. And those blessings go on to eternity. We have hope. We need to strive to know that hope. Remind yourself of it. It's a new year. We need to live hopefully. We need to establish some good habits. Every year I always try to sharpen up some things, straighten up some things. I think it's a good time for us to build some new habits in how we live our lives. I pray that you'll stay hopeful because Jesus is in your life. If you're a Christian, then you're blessed. And you're going to think back and you're going to remember when you first made that decision for Jesus. A Christian will say, when I made that decision, it was the best decision I ever made. And you will say, no matter what has happened in my life, no matter how bad, no matter how difficult, no matter how rough it is, nothing can touch that decision I made for Jesus. Nothing can change that. Because He has forgiven us and He's given us hope. And our song that we're going to sing today is a beautiful old hymn. Since Jesus came into my heart. And it's all about what happens when Jesus comes into your heart. It's a great description of what it is. So I want to encourage you today. Think about some good habits that you need to make. Think about some goals that you want to set. Some godly goals. So let's all stand as we sing our invitation.